All right, so we're holding on to Yodoma Bay's near the bottom by the two dots, 8 lines from the bottom. Okay, so we went through the four cases, the four women that we went through the four women that die of shaita, the stula, the pregnant woman, the nursing woman, and the old woman.
Right.
And then we said in the Mishnah that when do we say die of shaita? Only for each one of them, only the first re'iyah that they have while they're in this situation, in this state. But once the second re'iyah comes, then already it's more than after three onus. Then already, obviously, you know, they're back to normal. They're having regular uterine, at least semi-regular, whatever, uterine bleeding again. Dumim mitsuyim, you now have that blood. Well, not, yeah, that's more. It's more regular, and therefore you have the usual mess less rule because now you can't say anymore. Now you can't say anymore that it's fluke. So, which of those cases is that statement to the Mishnah referring to? So, Amar Rav Akulu. So Rav says he's referring to all four of them. All four of them, once you have the second re'iyah, then it's metame mesis. Ushmuel Amar, Shmuel said no. Lo shon, Yodom and Beis, by the bottom. Ushmuel Amar, lo shon o ela besulo uskena. Lo shon, Shmuel says no, it only refers to two of them. Only the besula and the old woman. That, because after all, the besula, once she had already 2 times bleeding, then okay, you know, even, then you say already that's enough to show that that it's starting. Fine, it's not enough to create a vest yet, because you need more times than that, but at least it shows that that bleeding is starting to be a regular thing with her. And Askena also, okay, you know, you thought that she was menopausal, you thought that her periods are over, and now it turns out it's just that she missed a couple of months, and now she's starting, and now she's getting back to normal, kind of. Avomor better sumanika, but Shmuel says when it comes to a pregnant woman or a nursing woman, generally speaking, they're not going to be having any uterine bleeding during that whole time. Therefore, dayan koyimei boran, dayan koyimei minikotan. Therefore, no, umanika means one or the other. Not like we were talking about yesterday, according to the BAC. No, it just means a pregnant woman or a nursing woman. Because there's no reason to say that it does. Okay, that was a special case. We had a braisa that started by talking about two of them in the plural and then continued in the singular. But here we're saying dayon kol yimei boron dayon kol yimei minikosan. That we're saying that they, all the time they're pregnant or all the time that they're nursing, is dayon shaitan. Because Rashi says, look, even if you have, let's say, fine, you know, the beginning of her pregnancy, you had, okay, so you have...
Because you're talking about milberes.
Umanika. In other words, we're not talking about one woman. We're talking about different women. Moberes, and we're talking about Minika, right? Anyway, so the point is that, fine, we're saying in those times, at least, it was common enough for women to have bleeding from the uterus during the first 3 months of pregnancy. That's why we said you have to have until huka ubra before, until the pregnancy is recognizable, which is usually at 3 months, we said, in order to say that she has a chazaka of mesulekas damim. We're saying that even after that, fine, could happen that she's still bleeding here and there during the pregnancy. But okay, even if it's not, even if eventually at some point, as the pregnancy goes along, there's likely to be a time when Ms. Halakha's done. She's not going to continue having normal monthly periods the entire 9 months. And the same thing when she's nursing. So therefore, Shmuel says, even if you have 2 times during that time, during the pregnancy or 2 times during the nursing that she has bleeding, you still take it to be a fluke. You still say die a shaita for it.
You just
go by that time only from when she had the bleeding and onward, as she told me, but not for possibly 24 hours before.
Right.
Whereas Rav would say that, you know, in those cases, in those cases also, the rule of the Mishnah applies. Once you have a second time bleeding, you can't say Daya Shaita anymore. It's obviously not such a fluke.
Rav holds
that when the Mishnah... No. Forget about that a second. We're talking about that Rav is saying once you have, the Mishnah had said once you have a second time, then it's no longer Daya Shaita. So Rav is saying that refers to all four of the women.
No, I understand that,
yeah.
But why a second time?
Because you already have, the fact of the matter is you did have in the past that she was bleeding. All you have is there was a temporary break. Because she's a psula, she hasn't really started yet. She's a skena, she had a break of 3 months. But still, once you have
that's fine.
The point still remains, though, that once you have a second time, it's already enough to say it's not a chazaka per se. But the point is, you already have. You thought that it was siluk dom, and you thought that her bleeding has gone away, and it turns out it hasn't. So therefore,
indicates there is a chazaka.
Dayan Chaitan is the opposite of a chazaka. Dayan Chaitan would mean there's no chazaka.
A chazaka that she she doesn't bleed regularly.
Right, but that's the point. So Dr. Rav is saying when the Mishnah says only the first time daya shaita and the second time not, it refers to all four of them, even the pregnant woman, even the nursing woman. Yes, it's true that generally during the later part of her pregnancy or during the 24 months of her nursing, you wouldn't expect her to bleed. But the fact is you see that this woman already has done so twice.
Right.
Therefore, that's reason enough that you can't say daya shaita.
When it comes to the exception of a pregnant woman, can you see that the blood maybe is coming from the baby developing?
Well, that's neither here nor there. As long as it comes from the womb, then it makes her nida,
right.
No matter what. I mean, the only way if it comes from the womb and doesn't make her nida would be if there's an injury there, if there's
right.
a sore there or something, and that's something else. We'll deal with that.
To replace a chazaka, you need two things. One
no, it's not. But it's not a matter of replacing a chazaka. It's not a matter of replacing a chazaka. We thought that we thought on the basis of three missed periods that her blood has gone away, and now we see that it's not. It actually does use the expression of chazaka. Fine. Given this chazaka trezim niachal gimel oinus, you have a chazaka of two times after 3 years. Fine. I don't know if Rashi means that it's a full-fledged chazaka, because the fact of the matter is, yeah, usually you would need three. But, okay, the bottom line is, in other words, that we're saying that one time, you can say is a fluke, two times already you say there. It seems there's something more over here. If we're talking about to begin with, to establish whether she's having periods, fine, then you need three times, according to Reb Shimon Gamliel, but we're dealing with she already had them before. V'chein amr Reb Shimon Lakish Akulu, the same machloikas that we have between Rav and Shmuel, we have between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yechanan. Reish Lakish says Akulu, refers to all of them, like Rav says, but Rabbi Yechanan amr, and Rabbi Yechanan says, like Shmuel, because we want to be aware that it was a machloikas among the Chachamim in Babel, and it's the same machloikas among the Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Yechanan amr, l'shanu el psula uskena, Rabbi Yechanan would say that it applies only to the psula and the skena, avamu berasum enika dayan koi meibur and dayan koi meimenikosan. But when it comes to the pregnant woman or the nursing woman, then we would say daya shaita throughout the pregnancy or throughout the nursing. Because even if there's a second time, it's still a fluke, because eventually you have, as Rashi says, mistauken v'hochon hein todir. It's expected that the blood is going to be going away, and therefore even two times is still considered a fluke. And you can't say, and you don't say mess less on it. And by the way, it is kind of important to know, if we only knew that it was machloikas, Reish Lakish, and Rabbi Yechanan, a machloikas, Reish Lakish, and Rabbi Yechanan, usually the halachas like Rabbi Yechanan, so then it would mean that this rule of mess less applies only to two out of the four. But since we first said it's machloikas, Rav, and Shmuel, and we have a usual rule that when there's a machloikas between Rav and Shmuel, in Dine Isser Veheter, the halacha is like Rav, the result is the halacha is like Rav, even though that also means the halacha is like Reish Lakish. Okay. Yeah.
So 2 to 4 is the first.
So Rav supersedes Reish Lakish.
Apparently, yeah.
Two is going to be the
Sula and the skein. Now that by them we say, if everybody agrees that by them, if they have a second time bleeding after when they're a Sula or after a skeina, then we say they go back to mass less. But you have a machloek. This is what about the pregnant woman and what about the nursing woman? Okay. So most is ketanori. It's actually a machloek. Well, apparently that's how it is. Yeah. I don't know in general. I don't know. Okay. Ketanori, the Gemara says, this is like a machloikas tanoim. A braisa says, better so manika show you shofet damu vois, a pregnant woman or a nursing woman that was flowing blood on an ongoing basis. And Rashi says it doesn't have to mean davka shofet. It just means that it means even if there was a huge flow of blood, nevertheless, dayan koyimei burden, but dayan koyimei minikosan, nevertheless, throughout all their pregnancy and throughout all their nursing, we say daya shaita divra meir. So it says remain. Rav Yosi, Rav Yehuda, Rav Shimon. I mean, no, loy amru dayan shaita ela b'ri'ya rishayna. No, we only say daya shaita only when it comes to the first ri'ya during these times. Avo b'shniya, but when it comes to the second one during the nursing or during the pregnancy, mekamim eslasim pekidah lepekidah, then the usual rule applies and you have retroactive tumor. So therefore, it comes out that Rav Meir is saying like Rav and like Reish Lakish, and Rav Yosi and Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon are saying like Shmuel and like Rav Yechanan. Okay, fine. Then the Mishnah said, and by the way, there's another unusual thing in it also. Usually, the halacha is usually like Rav Yosi against other Tanayim. So usually, you would expect the halacha would be like Rav Yosi here against Rav Meir. But apparently, because the Gemara first presented it as a machlokas of Rav and Shmuel, therefore we apply the rule that the halacha is like Rav and Dina Yisur V'Hetter. Okay. Fine. The last thing the Mishnah said was Vim Rasa Rishona V'Chola. We said in the Mishnah that when does it apply that the second time we say Me'es Les is only if the first one was a normal bleeding without any particular, without any known cause. But if there was, but the imrasa rishonim oynes, but the Mishnah had said, if the first ri'ia was the result of an oynes, and the example we're going to give in the Gemara of an oynes over here is, for example, that she jumped, she did strenuous physical exercise. The poskim talk about, there's a lot of other possibilities. For example, another example of onus would be if somebody hit her. Another example would be, there's also a machloikus rishonim, would it also apply, for example, if she ate spicy food and it brought on her period. That's machloikus rishonim, whether that's considered onus or not. Okay, anyway, another example would be if she carried a heavy burden. Anyway, okay, so we said if the first one was ma'onus, then for that purpose that doesn't count. Not that it doesn't count as in it doesn't make her tummy. She's still tummy, but we still say that one doesn't count as far as the second one already should be messless. We still say then we ignore the first one for that purpose. She's tummy when the first one happened, and then until she's able to go to the mikra. Then when the second one happens, we're still going to say daya shaita because the first one was not just spontaneous. It was because of an onus. Okay. So let's analyze that. Omar of Huna. Let's talk about, we talked briefly earlier in the Masechta that there's a number of different ways in which a vest can be established. Vest is the proper pronunciation, but whatever, but he says vest. One way is that you have a certain number of days between one and the next. One, it can be based on a certain day of the month. We're going to talk about most of the details of those are going to be in the fourth parak of our Masechta in the late Lamed. But you also have, So now you have something called vest haguf, which we talked about briefly a few days ago, which is that she feels certain physical symptoms, certain aches or pains or chills or what have you, shortly before she gets her period. Such a thing is called vest haguf. But now we're going to talk about the other way around, where she does some kind of physical exercise, and that brings on her period. Amunapuna, kafta varasa. If three different times the woman jumped, and then after that, she had a flow of blood, kavala vest, then she's established that now she has a vest. So the question is, lamai, a vest insofar as what? What do we say now makes it that now the next one is going to be expected under, that's what we have to figure out. Ilema leyamim, would you say that it means that we're talking about a certain number of days apart, meaning Rashi says, let's say we're talking about that she jumped every Sunday for three Sundays in succession, she jumped, and then afterwards she had a ria. Are you going to say that it means that any ria that she has on a Sunday, we're going to say daya shaita, because now she has a vest for Sunday, and therefore there's no reason to assume that the bleeding started any time before that. How could that be? And therefore, the result also, Rashi says, would mean, therefore, if Sunday comes, on the one hand, we have a kula that we're going to say, that we're going to say daya shaita. We're not going to assume if she found blood on a Sunday, we're not going to assume it started on Shabbos. But on the other hand, the result of it is a chumrah also, because it means if she doesn't do a bedikah on Sunday, then we have to assume, even though she didn't do a bedikah, she's still telling me to stop it. Because again, orach v'zman eibar, we expect it's going to come in the normal time. Well, the problem with that is, but any day that she didn't jump, she didn't have a flow of blood. So it's not necessarily tied. It's not necessarily tied to the Sundays. Why should we assume it's tied to the Sundays if every time before that she jumped? Incidentally, by the way, it's an interesting point over here. Do we actually literally mean every Sunday, like three Sundays in succession? On the face of it, you're talking about the second one is going to be during the days of Reziva, and we're going to have later on a discussion of whether you can have a vest during the 11 days of Ziva. So, because of that and other considerations, well, that's, we're going to discuss it later in the Masechta, but when we talk about vestas in the fourth parak. But anyway, so one way of looking at it is we are literally talking about every Sunday. That, yeah, it is possible for a woman to have some kind of cycle, where she has bleeding every 7 days. The Al-Dedeba, for example, discusses in Shulchan Aruch and understands our Gemara that way. Other poskim talk about that maybe it doesn't mean literally every Sunday. It means, you know, a few weeks apart, you know, every third Sunday or every fourth Sunday or whatever. Anyway, so you can't say that the Sundays themselves are the vest because each time she jumped. Ella kfitzis. So what are you going to say? It means that she has a vest as far as kfitza, that every time she jumps, we can assume that afterwards there's going to be a ria. How could that be? V'hatanya, we learn in a braisa, kol shetik ba'ena machmas oynes, any vest, anything that was established as the result of oynes, and kfitza, jumping, is a type of oynes because it strains the body. No matter how many times it happens, loy kova vest. she has not thereby established a vest.
What, because it was?
Because it was an oinus. So my lav like cover vest klal. Doesn't that imply that she doesn't, that you don't have a vest at all? So what are you talking about? You can't say that she has a vest for Sundays, let's say, because every time that the blood came on Sunday, it was preceded by jumping. So it's not necessarily, there's no particular reason to think that it's because of the day of the week. There's no reason to say, you can't say because it's fitness, because the braisa seems to be saying that you don't establish a vest that way. The answer is no. The answer is loy. No, that's not what the braisa means. It means like kava vest l'yomim l'chudaihu or l'kfitzis l'chudaihu. It means that thereby she won't have a vest that's based exclusively on days or exclusively on jumping. Ava kava la vest l'yomim l'kfitzis. But she will have established a hybrid. She'll have established a hybrid vest. Any Sunday that... L'chudaihu, meaning by themselves. Or l'kfitzis l'chudaihu, l'kfitzis by themselves. Sunday by itself is not enough to make her that she has a chazaka being tamer. L'kfitzis by itself, also, but both together. Av a kavala vest l'yomim l'kfitzis. She's established a hybrid vest which consists of days and jumping.
Hold on.
We're going to talk about the other case. What if she jumps other days? That's the next thing we're going to talk about. Okay, wait. But the point is, in other words, that we're going to say that if she jumps on a Sunday, then she has afterwards a chazaka of being tamei. But if she didn't jump, or she jumped on a different day, then not right. So the question is, then in that case, l'yomim l'chodai pshita. Obviously, she doesn't have a vest based only on days, because we just said, because every time it was preceded by jumping. Amar Ravashi. So Ravashi says, let's explain the case. We're going to kofetz b'chad b'shabbos b'chazoi. Suppose one time she jumped on a Sunday, and then afterwards she had a flow of blood. The kofetz b'chad b'shabbos b'chazoi. Then another time, the next week or a few weeks later, whatever it is, she jumped again on a Sunday, and again she had a riyah. Or b'shabbos kofetz v'loy chazoi. Meanwhile, in between one day she jumped on, 1 week she jumped on a Shabbos and did not have a flow of blood then. Or chad b'shabbos chazoi v'loy kfitza. And then the next day, Sunday, she had a flow of blood without having jumped that day. Mao de tamus. You would think now iglai milsa la mafreya de yomahu de kagorim v'loy kfitza. So now maybe we see that all along it was really the days, because now we see, after all, she had one on Sunday without it having been preceded right away by jumping.
Shabbos.
Well, that's the thing. Kamash Malan, Dikfitsanami de Esmo Garma. The answer is that no, the jumping yesterday was a contributing factor. Vahai, the Loi Chazoi, well, it doesn't have to mean Dafka Shabbos, we're just giving an example, but yeah.
She jumped on Shabbos, but she saw it on Sunday.
She saw it on Sunday, right.
Right. Right.
Exactly. Vahai, the Loi Chazoi, the only reason why she didn't actually have the flow of blood on Shabbos, Mishum Dakati, Loi Matiz, Man Kvitsa, because not the normal time for her, for jumping to have that effect hasn't yet come. Therefore, so the jumping does have an effect, but it has sort of a delayed effect.
Right. Yeah, but it doesn't have to be on a Sunday.
No, but that's the thing. The Braisa had said that there's no such thing as the Braisa on the face of it had said there's no such thing as a vest based only on jumping. Now, Rashi actually, in the Hava Amina, Rashi explains that the Gemara started by thinking there could be a vest based on jumping, and then we brought the Braisa, which says that not. Tosfos actually understands that the Gemara to begin with knew that there can't be a vest based only on kvitza. So the assumption was to begin with that there could be a hybrid one based on days and kvitzas, and that's what we're saying, that essentially that's what it is. Even though it comes out every number of days, but two times it was directly preceded by jumping, and one the day before, that's enough to establish a hybrid vest based on kvitzas and yom. Lishnachri, a different version of the discussion goes like this. Amunapuna, kofta varasa, kofta varasa, kofta varasa. If she jumped three times and each time afterwards she saw a flow of blood.
Different days.
Yeah. No, different days, Bapashtas, because you can't really have a vest that's all on the same day.
No,
the same day of the week, you want to say, yeah. The same day of the week, right.
Same day,
right.
It's the week of the month.
Yeah.
In other words, it didn't matter for the Sunday and Monday. The day she jumped, that's when
it's all right. Right, well, right. Okay. Right. So, kovala vest l'yomim. So, in the second version...
If you say that she jumps several times a day, and she saw every time she jumps, that's more likely to be a vest of jumping, isn't it?
Well, but we said, the Braisa told us that you can't have a vest of jumping. because different days. Okay, but if it's on the same day, you don't. There's no such thing as multiple vestas on the same day. You know, you have to have a. There has to, the cycle has to have a certain length.
Vest from jumping.
Right.
So if it's several times on the same day, it could be definitely. Why not?
Okay, but you can't say. But you can't say. But not necessarily would that be reason enough to say that thereafter every time she jumps that she's ordered. Maybe I don't know. I'm not sure. It could be. I don't know. And then I can tell you that Simon Kufpeites in Yerodea, which deals with these denim of vestas, is quite long and complex and has all kinds of cases involving things like this, involving hybrid vestas and other kinds of hybrids. We're going to get into the fourth paragraph about all kinds of interesting patterns in vestas. Yeah, okay, anyway. All right, so in this second version, Rapuna is saying that even though each time the re'iyah was preceded by jumping, nevertheless, kavala vestla yomim v'lo l'kfitzis. In the second version, he's saying that you only have a vest for day, based on days of the week or days apart or whatever, not based on jumping.
That's in the case when?
Where we said every time she jumped three times on different days, and each time, and each time she had a re'iyah. So we're saying that it's based only on the days. So hey chidami, what's the scenario? Why would we say that it doesn't depend, that it has nothing to do with the jumping? The case that Rav Huna is talking about in the second version is that one time she jumped on a Sunday and afterwards saw a flow of blood. Another time again she jumped on a Sunday and again had a flow of blood. On Shabbos she jumped and did not have a flow of blood, although the Hagos Hagrol takes that out and points out that many of the poskim also take that out because they say that's why it's in parentheses. Ulachad b'Shabbos achrina chazoi b'leikvitza. Then on a different Sunday she had a flow without jumping. Now where there was no jumping at all before the third time, that's why we're taking this out. That's why it's in parentheses. Because that's why we'd be taking it out, because of the third time. There was no jumping at all before the third time. So that demonstrates that the first two times, the jumping was just an incidental thing. The real cause of it, the real trigger of it, was the day of the week or the day of the month or what have you.
But this, come on.
The one second she had one day.
No, because she only two times did she jump. Again, in the third version, it doesn't matter. It didn't say. I mean, we said B'chad B'Shabbos. We said on Sundays. So either it means consecutive Sundays, the way the Alter Rebbe learns, for example, or it means different Sundays were scattered out throughout the month, but where you have some kind of regular pattern. Let's say every third Sunday or fourth Sunday or whatever.
Usually the blood wouldn't be bleeding three Sundays in a row.
Right, well, that's the thing. I mean, you could, it's not usual to, but the same way as we talked the other day, that it's possible for a woman to have an unusually long cycle and that's considered valid in halacha. The same way, you can have an unusually short cycle and it has validity in halacha.
But the jumping has something to do with it because...
No, because in this second version, we said the third time there was no jumping at all.
Right, but the first two were...
The first two, yeah, but two times, not enough for a chazak. Yeah, when you're talking about establishing a vest, you're talking about establishing a chazaka. We talked about yesterday, you have Rebbe versus Reb Shimon Gamliel, whether you need two or three times, but in that, the halacha is like Reb Shimon Gamliel, that you need three times. Yeah. And by the way, there are actually going to be, and I believe there are Rishonim, we'll talk about it over here, we're going to talk about, when we get into the sugya about vestis and the lamed, in the late lamed, we're going to talk about there are certain cases where the pattern is such that you actually need four times to establish it. Because you have to have three intervals. You have a case over there involving what's the case over there, for example, where one month she had her period begin on the 15th, and the next month on the 16th, and the next month on the 17th, and the next month on the 18th. So you need that whole pattern. You need 15, 16, 17, 18 in order to have three intervals and have that chazaka and have a vest that it means that every day, that every month you're going one day ahead. So I think some of them bring that up in connection with this Gemara over here also, that we could be talking about something like that. Mishnah says, now we said in the previous Mishnah that a woman who has a vest, or we said you had the four women. So we said that the daya shaita, only when they have the flow of blood are they tame, not before that. Nevertheless, tuchalias bedekas, nevertheless, she still has to do the twice a day bedekas like other women, like we talked about earlier in the parak. So she has a vest. She knows, for example, it's expected, orach bizmane ba, let's say every 30th day or every 15th of the month or what have you. Nevertheless, she can't say, well, okay, it's only the 10th of the month. For sure, nothing is going to happen. No, for purposes of truma and kodshim, she still has to do her twice a day bedik.
Even though she has
a vest. because it could happen, a fluke that could come a little bit early.
She has a vest when?
She has a vest. Let's say, for example, every Rosh Chodesh, let's say, or every 15th of the month or whatever. So you would say that in that case, okay, now's the 8th or 9th or 10th of the month. Obviously, nothing's going to happen. Why should I bother? No, the Chachamim still required her to do the twice a day bedik.
And when the time she's used
to when the time she's good, then she obviously has to do a bedik also, yeah.
So that doesn't change anything.
The fact that she has to do the twice a day bedikas, that's the point. Chutz min hanida, except for a woman who is actually nida, and once she has a flow on one day, she's tummy for those 7 days anyway, so you don't need to do a bedikah throughout those whole 7 days, because anyway, for that entire 7 days, she's going to be tummy regardless. Vayasheves al dam toihar, another exception is a woman who is in the state of dam toihar, namely, vayasheves al dam toihar, it says the word dam, the Mishnah. Vayasheves al dam toihar. Of dam toihar.
No, I don't have that.
Sure, you go at the beginning of the next one. That's close to the Rosh.
Okay.
Vayashevet al dam toihar. Now you have. We've talked briefly before, and we're going to learn in more detail. We'll learn in more detail throughout this Masechta, and especially in the third and fourth Prakim, that after a woman gives birth, she has a certain time, 7 days after a boy, 14 days after a girl, when she's tummy, whether there was bleeding or not. After that, she has 33 days for a boy and 66 for a girl, when even though she's bleeding, she's still tahor and mutar to her. She's not tahor as far as truma and kodshim, but she's tahor in the sense that she's allowed to have relations with her husband.
So
she had a boy, for example, so she has so you have 7 days of truma and then 33 days of yimei tahor.
That's after the 7 days she's very mutar?
She's mutar to her husband, right.
Right. So much longer.
No. So after 7 days, that's the thing. I mean, nowadays we have it, and then nowadays we don't practice this thing of dam toihar.
Right.
The Rambam writes that in his time he heard by hearsay that the Jews in France still did that. They would follow the rules of dam toihar. The Rambam writes in all the rest of the Jewish world that he was familiar with, they already asked it. So it's very hard to tell whether she might be a nida during that time. After the 7 days, during the next 33 days. So the Rambam writes like this. In his time, there were several different minhagim in this connection. He says in Spain and in North Africa and in Eretz Yisrael and so forth, they don't follow dam toihar. Any bleeding that happens when a woman makes her also to her husband, and she has to have 7 clean days and she has to go to the mikveh. Then the Rambam writes that by hearsay he heard that the Jews in France still do dam toihar. They still do the original din as it was, which is that during this 33 days for a boy and 66 for a girl. No, they're momekel. They're momekel. That's because they're saying that they're allowed to have relations during those 33 or 66 days, even if the woman is bleeding.
According
to the other minhag, they already would after that, because you can't tell one bleeding from another. Then the Rambam writes that there were places, and there were even chuvas from Goyim on the subject, saying that the couple should never be having relations during the 40 days after a boy or the 80 days after a girl, even if there's no bleeding. And that's what Rambam says very forcefully, absolutely not. That's something that comes from the Koroyim. Get rid of that minhag. No such thing. But that's how it is nowadays. Right. So what it is, so nowadays, the rule is, I mean, generally speaking, nowadays, after a woman gives birth, she's usually bleeding more or less continuously for several weeks. But whatever, in principle, okay, that's better. Some more, some less, I guess.
But
anyway. Yeah, whatever. Okay. Anyway, Okay. The point is, though, that the way it works is during the first 7 days after a boy or 14 days after a girl, she's also to her husband regardless, even if the bleeding was, even if the birth itself was a completely dry birth, no blood at all. After that, if the bleeding has stopped, then she counts Shiva Nakiyim and she's mutter to her husband. If not, then not. If not, then yeah. Okay. Anyway.
So 33 days and 66 days, when do they start kicking?
They start after the 7 days or after the 14 days. So let's put some dates on it. A woman gives birth to a boy on Rosh Hashanah, let's say. From Aleph through Zion Tishrei, she's also to her husband, whether there was bleeding or not.
Considered a nida?
She's considered like a nida, yeah. She has essentially the same status as a nida. After that, if the bleeding has stopped, Mina Torah, and according to the original din as we have it here in the Mishnah and the Gemara, at that point, she could go to the mikveh, and for the next 33 days from then, so you're talking from Ches Tishrei until whenever, you're talking until Yud Cheshvan, I guess, for the next 33 days, even if at any time during those 33 days she bleeds, it doesn't matter. She's still mutter to her husband. Even though she's bleeding. It's called Dam Toihar. After that, after
putting to the Torah, not to the Rabbanon.
No, we're saying the Rabbanon originally also. Later on, the minhag developed not to do that.
They didn't change that?
The Chachamim and the Gemara didn't change that.
How do you know that has to be her real purity?
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. As the Gemara is going to say, Torah Tihauter, the Torah declares it Tahor regardless. With a girl, all those times are double.
First 13 days that the period comes back?
Okay, but nevertheless, okay, all right, whatever. Anyway,
we had a long discussion.
Okay, it doesn't usually, but the point is, whatever, the point is, the point is that any bleeding that happens during that 33 days, with a girl, those times are doubled. You're 14 days after the birth, she's Tomei, and then 66 days of Dam Tov. Okay.
And then
after that, everything goes back to normal. Yeah. Okay.
Even if she's nursing.
Right. Well, if she doesn't have periods, she doesn't have periods.
Okay,
then
you have
the minute developed not to have relations during those 33 or 66 days, if she's bleeding.
If
she's bleeding, as the Rambam says very sharply, if she's not bleeding, then there's... No, we're talking about Aria. We're talking about that there's blood. Yeah.
Aria, again, is not...
Is a flow of blood. Means that she sees blood. Yeah, it could be with a bedikah or it could be without. So Vayeshevus al Dam Tohar. So now a woman who's doing those 33 or 66 days, she doesn't need to be doing the twice a day bedikah because it doesn't matter. Even if she's bleeding, she's still mutter to her husband. Truma and Kodshim she can't handle anyway. She's still Tomei regarding those, but yeah. And also, right. Now here's another din. Umashameshes be'edim, or be'edim, even a woman who has a vest still has to, when she's going to have relations, she still has to use cloth to examine herself before and after tashmish, to make sure that she's not bleeding. And here you have the machlokas rishonim that we talked about all the way at the beginning of the Masechta. Does that apply even nowadays when we don't have Truma and Kodshim, or does it apply strictly because of Truma and Kodshim? The Rambam and the Rosh hold that applies across the board. Most of the other rishonim hold it's only as a matter of Truma, being careful as far as Truma and Kodshim, and therefore the only thing that's negeya for nowadays, when a woman first gets married, she has to do this check the first three times she and her husband have relations, just to verify that she's not to make sure that having relations itself doesn't trigger her period. Once you've established that it doesn't.
Once we've established a minhag, we keep it. So technically they should continue doing this.
No, because it's not a matter of minhag. It's a matter of the chamim made the takana because of truma and kodshim. No truma and kodshim, then no minhag. Then no takana.
Today we don't have a besamigdash, we continue certain things.
That's fine, but when the Chachamim said we should keep it as zeichel mikdash or whatever, then it. Here they said specifically right.
Okay.
So mshameshes be'edim. So a woman before and after she has relations, she has to use cloth to wipe herself. Chutz miyashet to check herself. Chutz miyashevus al dam toya. With the exception again of during the 33 or 66 days, she doesn't need a bedikah again. Because even if it's bleeding, doesn't matter. She still mutter to her husband. Or besula, and also an exception to that is a besula, and here we mean a regular virgin. Shedameha tahorin. Where during under some circumstances, we mentioned briefly yesterday. We're going to talk in more detail at the end in the last parak of our Masechta. That under some circumstances, the first 4 days, the first 4 nights that she and her husband are married and they've had relations, any blood that comes from her is assumed to be tahor because it's from her hymen, from her basulin. So therefore, again, there's no reason to do bedikas because any blood that she finds is likely to be from that.
Truma comes only from the uterus.
Other than that, when a woman has to do the daily bedikas, it has to be twice a day, shachos of beinah shmoshes, one in the morning and one beinah shmoshes, for the reasons that we said at the beginning of the perek, in order that the morning one will make sure that if it comes out clean, that any taharis she did the night before are good, and the evening one will be to make sure that any taharis that she did during the day are good. And then she has to do another bedikah before she's going to have relations with her husband. This so far the dinim in our Mishnah apply to everybody, whether she's married to a kohen or a levi or Yisrael. Today most of this doesn't apply again because truma and kodshim, we don't have that. Yiseris alei and koyinus. There are extra rules that apply to a wife of a koyin, or the daughter of a koyin before she's married. B'shashen oichlus b'truma. Before she's going to eat truma, she has to do a bedikah to make sure, because if she's a nidah, she's not allowed to eat truma. Rabbi Yehuda, I'm after Shas Abaros and Melechah B'Truma. Rabbi Yehuda says also when they finish eating Truma, because as we said in the Gemara a few days ago, we want to make sure that the leftovers are still okay. If it turns out, if she does a bedikah beforehand and everything's good and she eats Truma, and then let's say what happens if while she's eating, she starts having blood starts coming out, so then we have to do a bedikah afterwards, and otherwise, but if it comes out bloody, then whatever Truma is left over, there's a suffix on.
Okay. We're doing it for her or for the
Truma? We're doing it for the Truma. For her, it's a moot point. She already ate it. Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara says
she doesn't have to interrupt herself while eating Truma.
No. We're talking about when she finishes it.
Once she finishes it. And if there's some left, then
well, we don't know for sure, Tommy, because it may have happened. Well, it depends how long after. Basically, it depends how long afterwards she does it. But yeah, if she does it right afterwards, then yeah, it must have been, yeah. Yeah. Then the Truma is Tommy. Fine. So the Gemara starts off. We said in the Mishnah, Chutz min Nida, we're saying that a Nida does not have to check twice a day, because she's already a Nida anyway, implying the Besochim any Dosta Loi Boi Bedikta. So during the days of her Nida, she doesn't require Bedikta. The question is, Hanichal Rav Shimon ben Lakish. That works according to Rish Lakish. Dom Isha Kevas La Vest Besochim Ezi Vasa. Okay, so we have like this. We mentioned the other day, we have the 7 days and we have the 11 days. Again, forget about how we do it nowadays. We're talking strictly on a Daraisa level. You have a 7 day, you have a 7 day bracket when the woman is nida, and you have an 11 day bracket during which she can become zava. The vast majority of Rishonim understand that you have 7 days. This is the first of the 7 days is when she actually bleeds in a particular month. That starts the clock of the 7 days. After that, continuing after that, you have the 11 days. She may or may not bleed during that time. It doesn't matter. And after that, you have an open time until the next time she bleeds, and then that begins the clock of 7 days again.
From the end of the 7 days.
So if she has her period, for example, on Aleph Tishrei, on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, so the 7 days are Aleph through Zion Tishrei. The night after Zion Tishrei, she goes to the Mikveh. Then, from Ches through Yud Ches Tishrei, from the 8th through the 18th of Tishrei, 11 days, is her Yemei Ziva. If she bleeds any time during those 11 days, and if it's 1 or 2 days, she's a Shemeres Yem Keneged Yom, and if it's 3 or more, she's a Zavag Dola. And then most Rishonim learn that after that, you have, when will the next 7 day period of Nida begin? Whenever is the next time she bleeds. If it's Rosh Chodesh, it'll be Rosh Chodesh. If it's the 25th of the month, it'll be the 25th of the month. If it's 3 months later, it'll be three months later. Whenever, not expected to, whenever she actually bleeds the next time. The Rambam has a unique shita on it, which many other Rishonim argue on him. The Rambam, for example, has huge objections against the Rambam on the basis of various sugyas in our Masechta and in other Masechtas. The Rambam's shita of it is the 7 and 11 is continuous. You have 7, 11, 7, 11, 7, 11 without breaks in between. So in other words, according to the Rambam, the first seven days, sure, begins the first time she believes. Right. But the second time doesn't necessarily begin. It could be any time during her cycle. The third one also, et cetera.
So for the Rambam, the second 7 days is Nida, whereas for everybody else...
No, so according to the Rambam would agree that... Right. So, well, no, right. No, after the 11 days, it's not Ziva either way. Listen. Okay, again, let's take the
after
scenario...
After the 11 days.
Let's say, for example, she bleeds on the 19th of Tishrei next. Mm-hmm. Everybody will agree at that point she's a nigger. The question is, what happens if, let's say, for example, her next bleeding is, let's say, on the 27th of Tishrei? All the other Rishonim will say, okay, that's when her next Yemei Nida begin. Her Yemei Nida begin on the 27th of Tishrei and run for 7 days. The Rambam will say the 7 days actually begin immediately after the previous 11 days. So they will begin on the 19th of Tishrei and run through the 26th. Even though she didn't actually bleed during that time, doesn't matter. They're called Yemei Nida because potentially they're days of Nida. And then after that, if she first bleeds the next time on the 27th, let's say, okay, that's the third day of her Yemei Ziva, says the Rambam. And therefore, so then it depends. Was it 1 day in succession, 2 days, or three?
Most of the world, she becomes Nida when she starts bleeding again.
Right.
There's no period.
Right.
And for the Rambam, there is a period.
Right. So as I said, many Rishonim argue strenuously with the Rambam about this, in particular the Ramban, because it doesn't fit with many Gemaras that you have. It doesn't seem to fit on the surface with various Gemaras. Well, so actually, well, nowadays the moot point anyway. We don't do the 7 and 11 days, but There are various achronim who find various ways to reconcile the Rambam. The Maharshal, for example, talks about it. Chavos Das also talks about that. For example, maybe the Rambam would agree that if she has a regular cycle, if she has a regular vest, then yeah, then you don't say 7-11, 7-11 in succession. The whole 7-11 in succession without breaks would be only if she doesn't have a regular vest. They learn the Rambam would say. Okay, that's one possibility. Another possibility is also if she gets mixed up where she is in the cycle, then the Rambam will agree that we allow her to restart after a certain number of clean days. Yeah, whatever. Okay, anyway.
So today, how do we...
Today is the moot point anyway. Today, what we do... Today, we don't have the whole 7 and 11 thing. Today, any time a woman bleeds, even if it's only a tiny amount, we immediately consider her as if she was a Zava Gdola, and she needs 7 clean days afterwards. And only then can she go to the mikveh. Okay.
But it's still less stringent than saying 7 and then 11.
No, because no, because the original din min haTorah, you'd have to have 3 days in succession during the 11 days that she bled for her to be a Zava Gdola. Now we're saying one tiny little bit of bleeding already makes her a Zava Gdola. It's a chumrah.
Anytime after 7 days?
Anytime. No 7, no 11, no nothing. Anytime during a woman's life that she bleeds, automatically she becomes as if she was a Zava Gdola, and then in order to, she needs 7 clean days. Whereas if we went according to the Din of Torah, it would depend. If she was a Nida, we would say all we need is till the end of 7 days from when the bleeding started, meaning it could be going for 5 days in succession. She only needs 2 clean days in order to go to the mikveh. And if she was a Zava, we would say only if she was a Zava Gdola, only if there was 3 days in succession of bleeding, only then would we say she'd need 7 clean days. Let me re-explain that, but we really need to continue with the Mishnah. Okay. Talking on a total level, it would work like this. If she bled on Aleph Tishrei, no matter what, as long as the bleeding stops sometime before Shkia on Zion Tishrei, she can go to the mikveh the night after Zion Tishrei, fine. She's good. She's tahor. If the bleeding happens any time during the 11 days from the 8th through the 18th of Tishrei, then we would say if it was one day only, then she's a Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom. She needs one clean day, and then she can tovel and she's mutter. If it happened 2 days in succession, same thing. She needs one clean day afterwards, and then she's tahor. Only if it was 3 days in succession during those 11 days, then we would say she needs 7 full clean days. So let's say, in other words, so if she only bled, let's say, on Yud Aleph Tishrei, let's say, then she only needs Yud Beis Tishrei as a clean day, and she can go to the mikveh on Yud Beis Tishrei. Yud Aleph is doing one of the days of Ziva. It's in the middle of the 11 days, right? If it was only Yud Aleph and Yud Beis, same thing. She only needs Yud Gimel Tishrei as a clean day. Only if it was Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, and Yud Gimel in succession, then we would say she needs 7 full clean days. Then she needs the 14th through the 20th of Tishrei.
As opposed to today,
we say regardless, whether it was on Aleph Tishrei, whether it was on Ches, whether it was on Yud, always she needs 7 clean days.
7 days.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Fine. So getting back to the Mishnah. Okay. Getting back to the Gemara. Okay. So we have like this. When they did 7 and 11 days, we would say like this. So, okay, let's get back to the Gemara. So our Mishnah, which says she doesn't need to do bedikas to see whether she's having a period during the days that she's nida anyway, that works according to Rav Shimon Lakish. The Amar Isha Kevas Lavest V'Sochimei Zivasa. He says that it is possible to establish a vest during the days of Ziva, meaning, in other words, Rashi gives an example like this. Let's say, for example, that 1 month she had a flow on Rosh Chodesh. Then later that month she had another one. Now, so what happens? Rosh Chodesh begins the 7 days. So they run from Aleph through Zion. Now, after that comes the 11 days of Ziva, from 8 through 18, from Ches through Yud Ches. What happens if, let's say, she has her next flow on the 15th of the month? That's smack in the middle of the days of Ziva. Rish Lakish would say that's okay. You can still have a vest. You can still have some. Now, let's say if in subsequent months she has flows only on the 15th of the month, Rish Lakish would say that's fine. She's established. She has a vest every 15th of the month. The first one was during her Yemei Ziva, and during the Yemei Ziva is not normally a time for blood. Doesn't matter, says Rish Lakish. You can still start the establishment of a vest during the Yemei Ziva.
But she would need 3 times.
She needs 3 times, as usual, to establish on the same day of the month. But in other words, the scenario is, the reason
can start on the 11
it
days.
Can start during the first one of those three days. Can be during the 11 days, right? But he says it's impossible to have a vest established during the Yemei Nida. So let's during the 7 days. So let's continue the example. Let's say, for example, 1 month she had bleeding on the first day of the month, and then she had again bleeding on the fifth. Now the fifth is still during the Yemei Nida. She's anyway still also until the seventh. So what would happen if in subsequent months she again has every month on the fifth? Rish Lakish would say that doesn't establish a vest. No, just on the 5th. Just on the 5th, the same way as in the first case. It was just on the 15th, but it was preceded. So, okay, again, the case of Yemei Ziva is the case where the Yemei Ziva is she had, let's say, on Aleph Tishrei, then on Tetzvav Tishrei, then Tetzvav Cheshvan, then Tetzvav Kislev. Rish Lakish would say, that's a vest. The first Tetzvav Tishrei was in the middle of Yemei Ziva. He says, doesn't matter. But let's say she had on Aleph Tishrei, then on Hei Tishrei, then on Hei Cheshvan, then on Hei Kislev. Rish Lakish would say that's not a vest, because you can't have the beginning. You can't start establishing a vest during the Yemei Nida, says Rish Lakish.
So what did you during the Yemei Ziva?
Because according to him, because the Yemei Ziva anyway. Because the difference is that the Yemei Ziva it's somewhat unusual to be having bleeding during that time anyway. So therefore, and the idea is during the seven days of Nida, it's normal for her to be bleeding anyway. If she bled on the first, it's normal that she's still going to be bleeding on the fifth. That's the point. You can't really consider it. If you can't really consider, a vest would be established. It's a saying there's going to be a new thing from now on. She's going to have her regular periods on the fifth. But here, it already started on the first. The fifth is nothing special. But, right, exactly. So according to Rish Lakish, then our Mishnah works out well. Shapir. So that explains why does she not have to do bedikas twice a day during her nida? Because anyway, there's nothing to be gained from it. If she's going to find that she has blood, she already knows she's a nida anyway. It can't even be used to establish what might end up becoming a vest kavua, because anyway, you can't establish a vest kavua during the days of nida.
7 days.
Right. El a little b'yechanan, do ama isha kevas la vest b'seichem eni dasa, but according to Rabbi Yechanan, who says that a vest can be established during the Yemei Nida, tivdei, shouldn't she have to check? Fine, she doesn't have to check to see whether she's bleeding, to see whether she's tummy, because she's already tummy anyway, but she should have to be checking. Doma kavala vest, just to see if maybe this is the beginning of establishing a new vest. She should have to check, for example, on the 5th of Tishrei, because conceivably, the next month she might have, anytime during the 7 days, right, because the next month she might have on the same day of the month, and the month after that on the same day of the month, and that would...
According to Rabbi Yochanan, any bleeding during the 7 days may or may not
count towards the vest. Exactly.
Towards the vest.
Yes.
Whereas for Rish Lakish, it's impossible.
Right. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, why does the Mishnah say that a nida doesn't have to be checking? The answer is Amalach Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan can answer you. There's a difference. Ki amina anol. When I'm talking about that, you're able to be establishing a vest during your main nida. I'm talking about Hecha dechazise mimayon sotu. I'm talking about where the source that mayan literally means a source, like a water channel. Yeah, like a well. Sosum, which was closed up. What does that mean? So Rashi gives two examples. Rashi gives two explanations. He prefers the first one. So Rashi explains like this. We're trying to establish the third one in the series, the one that's going to make it a vest kavua. So let's say, for example, 1 month she had on Rosh Chodesh. She had on Rosh Hashanah. The next month she had on, again, on Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan. Then before it comes to Rosh Chodesh Kislev, which would be the third time, then she has a flow on the 20, just a second, on the 25th of Cheshvan, and then again on the 1st of Kislev. So now the 1st of Kislev comes out during her Yemei Nidus, right? Because if it started on the 25th of Cheshvan, then the 1st of Kislev is only 5 days later. So now we would say, so then Rabbi Yechanan would say, you still have that her vest kavua is now on Rosh Chodesh. The reason is because we would say, so why the third time did it start 5 days?
Most of them are on Rosh Chodesh. There's one.
Basically, what he would say is, Domim Yeseda Itosfu Barashi quotes from the Gemara later. But okay, that particular month she had extra blood and therefore started early. But basically, we would still say it's still Rosh Chodesh. The point is, in other words, in all those cases, we consider Rosh Chodesh is considered Mayan Sosum, like the wellspring was closed up, and then all of a sudden it opened. Okay, so this time it opened up a couple of days early, at the end of Cheshvan, beginning of Kislev.
Okay.
No, that's what it means. In other words, that beforehand she wasn't bleeding, and then all of a sudden, on Rosh Chodesh, it starts bleeding. And in this case, it happened, started 5 days early.
What does that add to
it? Well, it adds that therefore, Rabbi Yochanan can say that's good enough to establish a vest. We can say basically her vest is on Rosh Chodesh, and that particular month it started a little bit early.
Mayan
Pasuach would be where it's already open, namely the case that we were just talking about in our Mishnah in the beginning of the Gemara, where we're talking about the other way around, the date that we want to establish as the first of the three that's going to eventually be a best is already Mayan Pasuach, the wellspring is already open, because she started already bleeding on Rosh Hashanah, and now we're talking about Hay Tishrei, now we're talking 5 days, 4 or 5 days later, so the Mayan, the wellspring, is still open. So then Rabbi Yochanan would say, I agree, you can't use that towards a vest. So she doesn't have to bother checking on the other days between Beis and Zion Tishrei, because even if she were to have a flow then, we wouldn't say, it's called Mayan Pasuach, we would not say, therefore, that if later on she has another one on Hay Cheshvan and another one on Hay Kislev, we would not say that constitutes a vest Kavua. Because Rosh Lakish would say definitely not. Rosh Lakish is ain kivas la b'mein indusa, period. That the days of Nidda, Rosh Lakish would say you may ziva, fine, the 15th, but not you may Nidda.
Right.
Rabbi Yochanan, who's saying you may Nidda, what the Gemara is distinguishing over here is whether we're trying to establish a vest based on the beginning or based on the end of the three times. So we're saying over here, if she started bleeding on Aleph Tishrei, then on Hay Tishrei, we still assume Mayan Pasuach, the wellspring is still open. Therefore, that has no more, that the bleeding on Hay Tishrei has no more meaning than on any other day. You can't say, therefore, that if now she... One second. Therefore, you can't say if she has on Hay Cheshvan and Hay Kislev that now you have a pattern, because you don't have a pattern. As opposed to, in the case that Rabbi Yochanan is talking about in the fourth parak, where you already had two times on Rosh Chodesh, and the third time you had it started a few days before Rosh Chodesh, and then again it happened on Rosh Chodesh, then we can say it's Mayan Sosum. Then we can say that you're talking about it was open, and then it closed up, and now it reopened, and so you have a pattern that it opens every Rosh Chodesh. You had, in this particular case, there was a little bit extra, so it opened up a few days early and then closed up again, basically.
So Mayan Sosum is during the expected 7 days, and Mayan Pasuach is outside of the...
No, it's all during the 7 days. It's all during the 7 days. The difference is that what we're saying is like this. Before we had, like this, when she started bleeding on Rosh Hashanah, we assume it's open for those 7 days. It means, in other words, that she's expected to be bleeding during those 7 days. It might happen that she bleeds for only 1 day, and nevertheless, she's still Tomei for six days, and
right.
Either way, she has to wait till the end of the seventh, till the night after the seventh day to Tovel. But during those 7 days, we assume, Mayan Pasuach, we assume that the wellspring is open, and we assume that it's expected that she's going to bleed. Therefore, if she ends up bleeding on the 5th of Tishrei, for example, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything more than bleeding at any other time. As opposed to, in the other case, where she had already on Rosh Hashanah and again on Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan and again on Rosh Chodesh Kislev, and in between there was one on the 25th of Cheshvan. Yes, it comes out that when it comes Rosh Chodesh Kislev, she's already within her Yemei Nidya. Fine, but that's the thing. So Rabbi Yochanan would say no, it's Mayan Sosum because The normal thing we expect is that she bleeds on Rosh Chodesh. In this particular case, she had an extra
on Rosh Chodesh.
In this particular case, she had one extra in between on the 25th.
When she's expected to bleed
is on Rosh Chodesh.
So what is Sosum or Patua?
So each time it's Sosum. Each time comes Rosh Chodesh. Generally speaking, it's Sosum, and then it opens up on Rosh Chodesh. In this case, what we're saying is it opened a little early on the 25th. And then, when it's continuing on Rosh Chodesh, fine, it's true that it's within the Yemei Nidda that began on the 25th. But nevertheless, we're saying that all the other times was Mayan Sosum, and therefore it can be part of a pattern. So Rabbi Yochanan, in other words, would distinguish between whether we're staying at the beginning of the pattern or the end of it. Our Mishnah is talking about, we're talking about the beginning of the pattern. Therefore, there's no reason for a Nidda to be checking during the 7 days.
So she had the first two...
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Sosum would be the beginning, when it's beginning to be
yes.
Pasuach,
yes.
It's expected.
Depending on the pattern, the beginning or the end. If the pattern the first two times with a shchayis, that's the pattern, right? If it would be the last two times with a shchayis, but that would be considered a pattern.
The pattern is when you have three times. So if you have Rosh Chodesh, Tishrei, Cheshvan, and Kislev, then you have a pattern. You have a Vest Kavur.
But you know, one
so even though there was one in between, so even though there was one in between, we ignore that one for this purpose. Rashi gives another explanation that Mayan Sosum would mean that she had a flow and then there was a break for a couple of days and then she had another flow a few days later. Mayan Pasuach would be that it was continuously every day. Rashi prefers the first explanation,
which is
what we just said, that there's a difference between the beginning of the pattern versus the end.
The beginning would be
where she had on Rosh Hashanah, and then you're asking her to check on the fifth in case there might be again on the fifth of Cheshvan on the fifth of Kislev. We'd say Rabbi Yochanan says that Rabbi Yochanan would agree that that can't constitute a pattern, therefore there's no reason for her to ask for the check on Hey Tishrei, whereas the other way around was saying where she had on Rosh Hashanah, and then on Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan, and then on the 25th of Cheshvan, and then on Rosh Chodesh Kislev, that would constitute a pattern, and therefore on Rosh Chodesh Kislev she would have to be checking.
And that would be what? Pasul?
That would be Sosin.
She would have to be checking?
She'd have to be checking to make sure that's because if it's the third one, then it's the third one.
The
period started in this case on the 25th. Started a little early.
Just the one time.
The one time. Yes.
She had two times on the beginning of Rosh Chodesh.
And the third time was on the 25th of Cheshvan. And the fourth time was on Rosh Chodesh again.
And the fourth time was on Rosh Chodesh. When is she Sosum and when is she Pasul?
Sosum means before Rosh Chodesh.
Which Rosh Chodesh?
Each of those Rosh Chodeshes.
Okay. So before, unexpected.
Right. And not unexpected. In other words, that before she wasn't bleeding and now she is. Whereas Pasuach is when it's continuing, when it's continuing a previous period.
So on the 25th, what is she? Pasuach?
That's fine, but it's not part of the pattern. But what we're saying is it can still be considered, the fact that it continues on the first can still be considered part of the pattern because it means it started a little bit early, that's all.
So if you had, let's say, she has the beginning of Rosh Chodesh, the second Rosh Chodesh, the 25th for one day, and then again on Rosh Chodesh, what is that?
That's what we're saying. Rabbi Yochanan would say, then we have a cycle. Rosh Lakish would disagree with that. Rabbi Yochanan would say, good, we have a Vest Kavur now for Rosh Chodesh.
Because
we don't count the 25th.
The 25th
is a fluke, that's all. The 25th does not constitute a Vest. You need three times to create a Vest. Nothing. Before that it was Sosum. But the point is, comes Rosh Chodesh Kislev, it is Pasuach, but it started out as Sosum. It started a few days early, that's all.
Right.
That's what we're saying. Okay. We said in the Mishnah of Ayeshevet al Damtoy, we said you have a case where a woman is in Damtoy during the 33 or 66 days of Yimei Tahara after a baby. So we said she does not have to, when she has relations, she doesn't need to use cloths to check herself because she's anyway bleeding. So
concluding what then?
Concluding therefore that a Vest can be established during Yimei Nidasa. Again, nowadays it's a bit of a moot point because we don't really keep Yimei Nida and Yimei Nida separately. But
you said now that doesn't
have
to check because she's bleeding anyway?
What? Oh, yeah, Dam Toya, she's bleeding anyway during the 33 or 66 days, right? That's what he said. Not necessarily, but if she is, she's still mutter to her husband. That's what we're saying. That's Dam Toya. So the Gemara says...
Today we
say that not, right?
It's
a minhag that developed in the times of the Goyim.
The women's still five
right. I don't know. Yeah, that's Chumra Derb Zera. That's something else. Okay. Anyway. Kasak Daitech Mvakeshes Leish about Dam Toya. Now, the Gemara says, we're assuming that we're not actually talking about that she's in Yemei Toihar yet. We assume that what the Mishnah means is when she's ready to enter the Yemei Toihar. In other words, that 7 days have passed after a boy or 14 after a girl. It sounds like the Mishnah is saying that she doesn't need to do a bedikah to transition from the 7 or 14 days to the Yemei Toihar. So and we're saying she doesn't need a bedikah. So Hanicha l'Rav, in that case, then that works out according to Rav. The Omer, where Rav says, again, later in the fourth parak, when we talk about these dinim, Mayan Echad Hu, all of these various kinds of bleeding, of nida, of zava, of yeledes, of dam tohar, all of them come from the same source. They all come from the same place in the uterus. And why is sometimes tome and sometimes not? HaTorah timaseh, HaTorah tihauteh. The Torah declares that sometimes it's tome and sometimes it's tohar. The same exact, even though it's the same exact blood, and chemically it's no different, and in origin it's no different. Nevertheless, there's a custom that at certain times it's tohar and at certain times it's tome. Well, then shafir. So according to Rav, we can understand that the Mishnah is saying, so therefore, so she had the baby on Aleph, she had the baby on a Shodesh, on Aleph. Now comes the end of the 7 days. She doesn't have to do a Bedikah, because it doesn't matter. Any bleeding that she had from Aleph through Zion is Tomei, and any bleeding that she has from Ches is Exeris Kosev, right? So then Shafir, so we understand why the Mishnah is saying she doesn't have to do a Bedikah. Elul Levi, but according to Levi, who says in the Gemara there are actually two different sources of blood, where you have one that's open for 7 days or 14 days, and then that one closes up, and another one opens up, and Dam Toyar comes from there. So according to him, Kivdoik, why shouldn't she have to do a Bedikah? What happens if the Tomei one stays open a little longer than it should?
According to him,
Shnei Mayonathan. You have one source of blood that produces dam, which is tame, during the 7 or 14 days, and another one which produces dam tohar during the 33 or 66 days. Well, that's the thing. You should have to do a bedikah after the 7 days in order to make sure that the first mayan has closed up. Because, in fact, the Rashi brings over here from the Gemara over there that Levi would hold that, in fact, we don't automatically say that the Yimei Tahar, that the Dam Tohar begins immediately after the Yimei Tumah. There would have to be a break in the bleeding first, in order for us to, enough time for us to be able to say. I don't know, we'll learn in the fourth parak, but whatever it is, enough time for us to be able to say.
How do you differentiate between both, according to Levi?
That's the thing. According to Levi, you would have to have, she's bleeding for 7 days after the birth. Then you have to have a certain amount of break. I don't know how much, we'll learn over there. And then after that, any bleeding during the next 33 days is Tahar. But according to him, there has to be a break, so you need to do a bedikah to verify that there was a break. So according to him, Tivtoik, she should have to do a bedikah. Dilmi Akati like Pasek, because maybe the original Mayan has not stopped flowing. Dilmi Akati like Pasek, how Mayan Tome, maybe that Mayan Tome has not stopped yet, so you need to do a bedikah to verify. Amalach Levi, so the answer is Levi will tell you, Homani, you know who our Mishnah is going like the Shammai. Our Mishnah would be like the Shammai. The Amri, where Bishamai says in that Gemara over in the Mishnah over there, they say Mayan Echad. They say it's only one Mayan. So therefore, in other words, he would say it's a Machlokas Bishamai Bishilol. Fine, I'm going like Bishilol, saying that there's two Mayanis. But Bishamai has their opinion that it's one Mayan. The problem is Vasasim Lampanak Bishamai. What are you telling me? We have a Stam Mishnah here like Bishamai. We know that Halacha is almost never like Bishamai. Why would we have a Stam Mishnah like him? The answer is okay, fine. Stam Bachaka Machlokasu. Fine, that's not a problem because it's a Stam Mishnah. But later on we have the Machlokas because in the fourth paragraph we're going to be presented with this Machlokas, the Shammai Bishilol. Vachol Stam Bachaka Machlokas ain't Halacha Kastam. Anyway, we have a rule that when there's a Stam Mishnah and later in that Masechta there's a Machlokas on the same topic, and anyway the Halacha is like not like the Stam Mishnah. So Rebbe wouldn't have minded putting in a Stam Mishnah over here according to Beis Shammai, because big deal, we're going to know anyway the halacha is not like it once we get to the fourth parak. That when you have stamba hakach mishnah, right? No, never, but in general, when you have stamba, right? When you have stamba hakach machlokas, right? Okay. The iboyis same, or another answer that Levi can say, you're assuming that the mishnah is not talking about where she is already in dam toyar. You're talking about where she wants to get into dam toyar. She's ready to enter the 33 days. But after all, Mikotani Mavakesh's Leishiv. But the mission doesn't say that she's ready to enter that point. Mavakesh's Leishiv. Yeshevet Katani, the mission says she is already in Yemei Toya. Meaning, in other words, that let's say, for example, so she had the baby 3 weeks ago, let's say, so she's smack in the middle of the Yemei Toya now, whether it's a boy or a girl. And the mission is telling us she doesn't have to do bedikas before and after having relations then. What? No, not Kimari. Yeshevet, that she's actually sitting in Dam Toyar. She's already in the time of Dam Toyar. She's already 3 weeks, let's say, after the birth. Yeshevet, my lememra. Then what's the chiddush? Obviously, she doesn't have to do a bedikah because any bleeding that she has during that time, she's tohar anyway. The answer is ma'u lememra. You would think ma'u detema kivdeik, my lememra. The answer is ma'u detema kivdeik. Still, you would think maybe she should be required to do bedikahs before and after relations. Dilma Kabbalah Vest, not so much because of relations, But after all, you have a possibility maybe that she could establish a vest during that time. So Rashi explains, let's say, so with a boy, you don't really have enough time. You only have 33. You may tell you that's not really long enough to establish a proper vest. But if you have, usually they're 30 days apart. Sometimes you can have. We're going to learn later on in the Masechta examples where her cycles are somewhat shorter than normal and they're 20 days. But so Rashi explains, during the... But you could have, though. But you could have. But I'm also giving it an example where she has a cycle every 20 days, let's say. It happens. Anyway, you have a certain, how many standard deviations, but it's not that many. Whatever, anyway. The point is...
20 days, 30 days is a huge amount.
Okay, but whatever. Anyway, the point is that... Okay, they could. Anyway, the point is, Rashi says, but fine, but still, during the 66 days, you make tahara after a girl, you have room enough in there for, you have room enough in there for two periods of 30 days each, according to Rebbe, or three periods of 20 days each, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel. So shouldn't she have to be doing bedikas during that time to make sure that we're not establishing a vest tavua? Kamash Malan, that is the chiddush of the Mishnah. The reason why that's not a concern, demayan tahor, lemayan tomei lekava, because you can't have a vest kavur that's established where part of it is during mayan tahor, during the time when the bleeding is tahor, during the time when uterine bleeding of hers makes her, she's still tahor, namely, no, during the 33 days, or 66, right, lemayan tomei, to time when, if she bleeds from her uterus, she's going to be tomei. You don't have, that, you, such as after the 33 days. After the 66 days. So therefore, there's no reason for her to be doing bedikas during that time to see whether a vest might be in the process of being established. Because anyway, a vest can't be established. But, yeah.
Because she's tahor. She's into the tahor.
Right, exactly. So now the question is the other way around. Okay, well, that makes sense according to Levi that it's anyway two mayonis. So obviously then, what happens with one mayon is not relevant to what happens with the other mayon. El ol Rav, Dom Mayan Echadu, but according to Rav, who says all the blood comes from one place, and it's just gzeiros hakosev when it's tamei and when it's tahor, Tivtoik, shouldn't she have to do bedikas during those 66 days? Dom a kavala vest, because maybe a vest is in the process of being established. Let's say, for example, that she would have during those 66...
Rav doesn't agree with the fact that during the...
Of course he agrees with tahor, it says so in the pasuk. He's saying Mayan Echad, who he's saying it's all one source of blood during those 66 days. There's a cost of that it's tahor. There's a cost of that same blood, if it had come at any other time, would be tamei. But now, during that 66 days, it's tahor. So according to Rav, though, the physiology is still the same. The blood is still coming from the same source. So why shouldn't you say that, for example, let's say during these 66 days, let's say she had one flow on the 15th day of it and another one, let's say, on the 45th day of it, 30 days apart. So shouldn't she have to be doing bedikas to make sure then, because what would happen after the 66 days are over, 9 days later, or 75 days since she finished her Yemei Torah, now she has a third flow, then you have a vest, tavur, every 30 days.
According to Rav, what are the...
According to Rav, there's only one Mayan. There's only one source of blood in her body.
What's the period for that Mayan?
Not a question of what the period is. Rav holds that during during certain times of the month, if blood comes from there, it makes her a nidah. During certain other times, it makes her a zavah. During after childbirth, it makes her tummy from childbirth, and then with during the 33 or 66 days, that same blood from the same place is tahor. It's all from the same place.
It's all the uterus. Levi says
that because maybe Levi would hold that's different parts of the uterus. I don't know. Whatever. The point is without getting into the physiology, but the point is that according to Rav, the fact is you have blood coming from the uterus and it's the same place it's going to be coming from after the Yemei Tumah, after the Yemei Tahara over. So according to him, why shouldn't she have to be doing bedikas during the 66 Yemei Tahara? She should have to be doing bedikas during then because any bleeding, she has to note the day of it. And if there ends up being a pattern that starts during that time and continues afterwards, then you have a vest. So why shouldn't she have to do bedikas? The answer is
she
should have to. So why does the Mishnah say she doesn't have to? The answer is afilu hochem yimei tahara yimei tumah lekavah. Nevertheless, even Rav, who says that it's only one, that's only one mayan, he would still say the fact is you can't have a vest where some of it is in yimei tahara and some of it is in yimei tumah. Where some of it is during times where if she bleeds, she's tahor, and other times during a time when if she bleeds, she's tumah, namely after the 66 days, that's not considered a vest. Yes. From the point of view of the way her body works, it might be that she has a regular thing every 30 days. But as far as halacha is concerned, we can't go. It has to be only in one. Right. Exactly. And therefore, she doesn't have to be doing Vidikas during that time. Whereas Levi, according to Levi, all the more so, since it's too Mayonis, you for sure don't have to. There's no possibility that you can have a vest that's partially based on one Mayan and partially based on another Mayan. So therefore, according to him, for sure not. Right.
For sure not what?
For sure, she doesn't have to do Vidikas during the 66 days.
But I don't understand why he says it's two Mayanis when there's just one.
Well, that depends how you look at it.
She doesn't have three uteruses.
No, she doesn't have two uteruses, obviously, but she also doesn't. But just, you know, you also have different parts of the uterus produce more or less blood at different times.
Anything in the uterus?
That's fine. Levi would say apparently that there's one part of it that produces dam nida and dam zava and dam yeledes, and a different part that produces dam toya. So it's all In general, we say uterine bleeding. Where did that come? Because that's how he learns. We're going to learn in the fourth paragraph. We're going to see. We have the machlokas b'shama b'tzilul about it also.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that's what we said. He said at the top of the yom. B'shama yidami mayanach.
So he takes it from b'shama.
So he takes it from b'tzilul, actually.
The what?
This concept of shnei mayanach.
Basil,
apparently, I mean, if we're saying Bichama says Mayanach, the implication would be that Basil says Shnei Mayanach. But we'll see. Wait until we get to that subject in the fourth paragraph, and then we'll talk about it. Okay, Bichama just mentions over there that Bichama says Mayanach. That's one Mayanach. I see there's a machlokas there with Shammai Basil, but I don't see it saying about, okay, whatever. Anyway, the point is we definitely have the machlokas Rav and Levi about whether it's Mayanef or Shnei Mayanef. So fine. So Levi has his understanding that it's Shnei Mayanef. According to Levi, I guess the logic is it's not logical to say that the Torah would say the same blood that comes from the same place should be all of a sudden Torah during 33 or 66. Why would you? That's how Rav learns. But Levi is entitled to his opinion. No, it's not logical to say that the Torah would do that. After all, I mean, yes, things are Gzeres HaKasuv and all, but we still have to try to find some underlying logic. So what might be underlying logic?
That's
if you assume it's Gzeres HaKasuv. Levi doesn't have to assume it's Gzeres HaKasuv. Levi, it could be that there's a reason behind it, namely Shnei Mayonis.
Well,
that's okay. That's not his creation. The Torah doesn't say Mayanach either. The Torah doesn't specify. The Torah is not telling us the anatomy. The Torah Shabbat Pet is telling us about it, you know, so.
If he says there's possibly two, there's a reason why.
There has to be. There's a reason, right. Right.
So what's the reason?
So the reason could be, I don't know, when we get to Daf Lamed Hei, Lamed Vav, we'll talk.
The person you're looking at the doctor, but there's a reason.
Right now, I don't know. We haven't gotten to that yet. I haven't learned Daf Lamed Hei, Lamed Vav yet, okay? So how's it going? Okay, well, anyway, we're going to break for Myers now.